I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Dom Giordano Show. Rick Bloomingdale is the president of Pennsylvania's AFL-CIO, and he and I have had great debate back and forth over the years. And I thought he'd be the perfect guy on Friday as we left. There were a lot of things dangling, or sometime last week, that Amazon apparently won in this campaign not to have a union, at least in the Amazon area where we've been talking about it. And I think Amazon is one of the worst countries in the world. But I know people, Dan, like the box to be on the doorstep.
Well, Amazon's a company, not a country. That would be very scary if it was a country.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is sort of a country. So, and based upon some of the exposés and what goes on with workers there, you know, even though they have the $15 an hour standard minimum wage that they instituted, it's pretty outrageous. And I read some commentary that maybe the union wasn't so effective in the way that they organized or whatever they did. So we'll break that down with Rick, but there's a couple of other big areas I want to talk with him about that affect Pennsylvania. And he's back with us here in Philadelphia on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Rick, good morning. Good to have you back on.
Good morning, Dom, and it's always a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, I can't tell you, it's been some of the best conversations I've had, particularly when we have, you know, difference around the edges or directly. And Rick, I would not be opposed to this. If there ever would seem to be an outfit where a union would succeed, it would be Amazon. So tell me, if you were organizing this, were there some miscues by the union or what happened here?
Well, I wasn't on the ground, so I really can't speak to what they did or didn't do, right? I know they had a very aggressive campaign, a very public campaign, talking to workers, but we also know, as companies do, Amazon, and of course one of the richest companies in the world, pulled out all the stops, and a number of National Labor Relations Board charges have been filed. But, you know, just the way, as you mentioned, it's a terrible company to work for. And, you know, the way they were treating their workers, you know, the stories I heard, you know, you walk in, if you're late, of course, it pops up on your phone, you're late, they can terminate you. You never really talk to a person in HR, right? It's all on your phone. They time your bathroom breaks. They time, you know, if you take your 15-minute break, if you're 15 minutes, 30 seconds, you know, you get the message on the cell phone. You know, most of us work in places, yeah, you got to be to work on time. There's no question about that. But usually you get a warning along with that, say, look, step it up, do better. And, you know, and those are the kinds of things where, you know, this company, and from what I've heard, you know, you rarely, you know, talk to a human being, right? You're talking to robots, you're talking to, you're doing your job, and they're dangerous jobs. You know, everybody thinks, oh, it's just a warehouse, you're just moving. But, you know, there's these huge conveyor belts, and people have, you know, been caught in them, and forklifts and all kinds of things. So it's an incredibly dangerous job. Most people don't think of warehouse jobs like that. And to your point about the $15 minimum wage, you know, and everybody, oh, it's twice the federal minimum wage. But don't forget, this Amazon warehouse is in a town called Bessemer, which was named after the guy who invented the Bessemer blast furnace. And there was a huge steel mill down in Bessemer where that warehouse is now located. And those jobs, because they were union jobs, they were all steelworker jobs in the South, paid $35 an hour with pension and health care. Now, when U.S. Steel closed that plant, obviously those jobs went away, and they were replaced with $15 an hour jobs. And, you know, one of the troubling things that I saw, which leads me to believe that there was some pretty serious voter intimidation, was that 20% of the people eligible to vote did not vote, which meant that they were probably afraid of losing their job. You know, and companies aren't, they can't retaliate like that, but mostly they just get a slap on the wrist and have to put up a sign that says we won't do it anymore. And until we pass what's called the PRO Act, which has already passed the U.S. House, it's in the U.S. Senate, which would level the playing field and make real fines against not only the company, but individuals who perpetrated those things, like told somebody you'll be fired if you vote for the union. And let me just take a minute and equate a union campaign with a, let's say, a U.S. election campaign, right? So a union campaign, in an American election campaign, right, you have a debate, both sides are heard. In a union campaign, the company can have captive audience meetings every day, which means they can bring their workers together, pay them to listen to the anti-union message. The union is not allowed on the property. They have to wait outside and hand out flyers, don't have the same access, may be able to go to homes if they're able to find addresses. But basically, you're having a one-sided debate.
But let me interject, Rick, and say, though, you know, isn't the proof in the pudding, though, too? I get what you're saying here. That's what the argument is. But the conditions, if the conditions are that bad, and I'm in agreement with you, I believe they are, then Marco Rubio did, too. Strange bedfellows here. You know, I think some of that. Let me bridge to say this, too, and I'm sure you probably have a different opinion, but can you concede that President Trump, in his own way, did break through on some of these issues? I'm not saying it's perfect from your ideology and that Biden is Joe Union. I get that. But that Trump did break through on some of these things with America's working class.
On what things?
On the idea that he was open to trying to keep jobs in America, protect their jobs, bring back jobs, and that's why he did rather well across the board, with particularly in 2016, with voters in where we both are in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you know, but he was all talk and no walk, right? I mean, he stacked his labor board with anti-union folks, right? If you want folks to have a good-paying job, then you let them unionize. Right. You don't run an anti-union campaign. You let people hear from both sides, have access to information on both sides of the argument, and then let them make and you don't let companies threaten to close down a warehouse or fire workers if you vote for the union. Those things are all illegal. But unless they're enforced and they weren't enforced by the Trump Labor Relations Board, those kind of things weren't enforced. So, you know, you can talk about bringing jobs back to America all you want, but did he do it? And the answer is no.
Well, but the economy, and Rick, when we see what's going on at the border, now I've never asked you or talked about the illegal immigration and all this, whether it's violative of the laws. We know how employers are able to exploit people, et cetera. Don't you think this undercuts a lot of the people that you represent and we want to get into the middle class, et cetera, in many parts of the country? What's going on at the border right now?
Well, I don't know enough about what's going on. I mean, I've heard that it's overblown what's happening. It's not, you know, that people are using it as a political.
Well, wait a minute, Rick. Now, come on, you're a connected guy here. It's not over. The numbers are the numbers here. It's a policy.
Well, it's not a policy. Well, Dom, I'm not going to get. Let's get back to, does it undercut our workers? And look, if you have a union, then you're going to be able to negotiate for good wages. Employers routinely use tactics like that, like immigration, to pit one worker against another, right? There's a history of Pennsylvania where they used African Americans to undercut Eastern Europeans, right? They're really good at playing one worker off another, either through racism or, you know, oh, this person's going to drive down wages. The real key is all workers are in this together, right? This is a workers' fight. And having a union is what lifts up workers, not black workers, white workers. It's all workers, right?
Well,
that's
I would say
that's what a union contract does. Let me finish,
Don. Wait a minute, Rick. It's legal workers versus illegal workers, though, is a difference, not, you know, along racial lines.
Well,
or
no worker
else.
Is illegal. I mean, if you're working, you're working, right?
No, if you're here illegally, you're illegal.
Well, but why is that company hiring you?
Because they're exploiters. We know what they're going to do,
right.
But why are
and
we bringing
if,
in? Look, it's
if you
it's
have a union, look, if you
ahead.
Have a union, you can protect against that exploitation, right? A union contract doesn't say black worker, white worker, woman worker, male worker. If it says machinist one, then you're going to get that pay rate mm-hmm. for that machinist one, right? Regardless if you're gay, straight, white, black, male, female, whatever you are.
Rick, my point is this, though. It's a failing for the unions, and some of the union guys here agree with me, and we have them on, to push back when employers are using workers that are here illegally. I think they have more cachet to do that. I wanted to ask you, though, the Keystone Pipeline. And look, I know what the argument is, but with the stroke of a pen, when you see those jobs go away, is the position of the AFL-CIO that those type of jobs are going to give way to the environmental argument, and that everybody's going to be doing solar panels or code or something else?
No, and let me just look. We were very disappointed with President Biden's, you know, eliminating the Keystone Pipeline. But let me tell you that, you know, the numbers that were, you know, out there on your side of the aisle, Fox News, about 11,000 workers. There aren't 11,000 pipeline workers in South Dakota. Hell, there are hardly 11,000 workers in South Dakota.
I'll quote you on that in the future, yeah.
Well, I'll probably make my buddies in South Dakota pissed off. But look, most of those guys and gals, they're going to get what they care about is working. Right. So there are other pipelines being built, and a lot of those folks travel. Right. They're part of the building trade. The pipe fitters have a big mm-hmm. travelers local, right, based out of Oklahoma. I think they do mostly oil and gas pipelines. They're on the road all the time. And I would imagine most of them are probably some of them at the Shell cracker plant in Western PA right now. So, you know, when you do that, obviously it's a displacement. You got to pack up and move. But I doubt if there were any actual South Dakota workers who were put
okay.
out of work.
All right. One other area I wanted to get with Rick Bloomingdale, who's the president of Pennsylvania's AFL-CIO. Selena Zito, who really, I think, has monitored the working class better than anybody in Pennsylvania. Recent column, Pennsylvania Town Saved by Fracking. It's Canonsburg, Pennsylvania. And, Rick, you know the whole state. Some of these places I haven't been. By fracking, fears that Biden will kill its prosperity. It gets at the tension of what you're doing day to day and what I would say are extremists inside the Democrat Party, like John Kerry, and he's mainstream, but it's even worse, and these jobs that are out there. So is there any position of the AFL-CIO on fracking and energy in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I mean, we're for energy jobs,
okay,
and that includes fracking, right? And we're not the Democratic Party, and you know the fact that fracking is, you know, it's tied to the price of gas. It's not really tied to natural gas, not gasoline. So if the price of natural gas goes down, companies aren't going to explore, right? The reason that fracking took off in Pennsylvania is because the price of natural gas was high. Right, it's supply and demand. So as we drilled more wells and produced more gas, you had more supply, and demand wasn't the same. So you have an oversupply, prices go down. Right? It's the free market. So what's happening right now is we have so much natural gas that it's cheap. So you have fracking slowing down. Now, all President Biden has done is said he's not going to do it on federal lands, but there wasn't much being done on federal lands anyway, except out west, not in Pennsylvania. We don't have any federal lands.
So if I have you back a year or two from now, given the tenor of where we're going, you think that is invaluable, that he will not go after fracking?
No, I don't. I mean, he said he's not going to. So
all right.
I'll take the man at his word.
Okay, we'll see.
And like I said, it's about the walk, not just the talk. So we'll keep monitoring that. And again, you know, President Biden can't control supply and demand. So
no, we're in agreement. What's next big for you at the AFL-CIO in Pennsylvania? What's the big initiative?
Well, we're certainly trying to pass the PRO Act, as I mentioned earlier. That would level the playing field. You know, we continue to fight to make sure that energy jobs are good-paying union jobs. And that includes, as you mentioned earlier, the solar panels of the installation. IBEW did a couple of big solar farms. Now, doing it on houses is typically a non-union industry, and that does pay low because it's not union.
Mm-hmm.
But where they build solar farms and they build them union, obviously the wages are union wages. So, you know, and more of our workers will be working in those kind of industries as we look at new types of energy, certainly carbon capture, taking, you know, if the federal government's willing to invest and make coal-fired power plants clean. You know, I talked to the mine workers the other day. They're still mining coal in Southwest PA. One of their mines is very profitable, very active.
But Rick, can I interject and ask you, though, too, isn't it some of it? And here's the rub. And, I trust you as a guy that's well-intentioned, without a doubt, when we have you on, and a union guy through and through. It's a cultural thing. It's kind of what they want to do. And too many people in the National Democrat Party, particularly the progressive wing, which is a lot, they don't understand that, and they just don't like that. They want to get them out of that. As I said, everybody solar panels and doing code and all. It's a cultural thing too, isn't it?
Well, I'm not part of the. The AFL is not the Democratic Party. We certainly support parties who support workers, regardless of what they call themselves. And that's where we're at. And remember, our members look. We want good jobs, good paying jobs that have health care and a pension, and you get that by unionizing. And if that means that we're going to do solar panels and they're good paying union jobs, we're going to do solar panels. If we're going to carbon capture coal-fired power plant, we're going to build that and maintain that. We're going to build a windmill. We're going to build that and maintain it. We're going to build more nukes, right? I mean, Pennsylvania's one of the great things about PA, we're an energy exporter. And unlike New York, which has banned fracking and other things, they buy energy from us all the time. And we're going to keep producing energy. We're proud of that sector of our economy. But remember, the AFL-CIO is not just energy unions. It's SEI, you know, service employees. It's public employees. It's teachers. It's building trades. It's manufacturing. It's machinists, steelworkers.
What's the position of the AFL-CIO, since you mentioned teachers, and what the science indicates to me? And as you know, my background, teaching, et cetera, so I'm close to this, Rick. The science indicates we ought to be back in school.
Well, I would leave that up to the collective bargaining process and the teachers and the school district.
It's a dodge, Rick. Sure. Come on now. Come on. That's kind of a dodge.
Look, people need to be safe. If you can't make a building safe, and I'll go back to our building trades, right? They build some of the best LEED certified buildings in the country right now. So if we can't make our schools, because we know we need good ventilation, right, to make sure that the disease.
We know the science,
spread.
And the science indicates we're going to be back in school. And ventilation
is
open the windows.
Every school building,
I'd say
every
95.
School building needs to be safe, right? And I, as a guy who fights for the union every day, and health and safety and wages are our big issues.
Yes.
I would never send somebody into a decrepit building that isn't safe, and I don't think you would
believe you believe in the suburbs of Philadelphia those buildings are decrepit. Let's take Philadelphia out for a moment. You think those buildings are decrepit?
I'm sure you have some that are 70 years old that were built in the expansion of when you and I went to, well, I don't know how old you are. I'm a baby boomer, so they were building schools hand over fist because we were all going into schools. Now that was in the 50s and early 60s. Those buildings are now old, right? They're 70 years old.
They have windows.
They do have. Some of them don't open anymore.
Oh, right? Well, so, that's an easy process. But okay, Rick, I got you. Hey, Rick,
that's my point, we got to make them safe before we send kids and teachers into them.
I think
that's
they
my
are.
Issue.
Hey, Rick, thank you very much. Glad to know we're on the same page on Amazon and fracking. 2 out of 10, okay. But that's pretty good. Thanks for joining us as always, Rick. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.